You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to my couch, as you always are. And this time we're doing Wednesdays, 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, and wherever you're at. And we always talk about ways to help you. And I always provide amazing guests to help you understand really how to work through some of your own issues. It's spiritual, psychological, fascinating work. And today is no exception because I have an amazing guest, which we'll bring on in just a bit. But if you'd like to heal your past trauma, I mean, we all have trauma, right? In some way. And some say they have more trauma than others, and that is indeed true. But we all have to overcome some stuff in our life, no matter what portion of our lives it hits us, usually in the early environment. But if you'd like to eliminate some of those toxic emotions and negative thoughts that you've had about yourself, you beat yourself up a lot. And also, if you'd like to eliminate some of those thoughts you have about others or dealing with people who are, as we say, toxic, I guess. But whatever types of trauma that you've had to cope with and however you've tried to compensate for those traumatic times in your life. As I said, today I'm going to be talking with an expert about these issues so you can have a happier life, basically, and get to healing your inner self. That's what it's all about, right? It's not narcissistic. It's take care of yourself first, and then we'll be great for others. So let's get to it. Let's bring her on. My special guest is Leah Guy. Hey, Leah.
Hi. Great to be here.
Thank you for coming on the couch today. I really appreciate it.
I'm happy to be here.
Oh, well, happy to have you. And, you know, your book was wonderful. And by the way, I would really recommend it for everyone. I mean, and I mean everyone, because we've all had some sort of trauma in our lives. And, yeah. You know, it's called, by the way, Overcoming Toxic Emotions. And then the underscored, understand emotional imprints to create happy, healthy relationships with yourself and others. And that's what it's all about, right, Leah?
It is what it's all about, yes. And we all have toxic emotions at some point in our lives, most of the time. Exactly. We just want to make sure that we don't carry those forward into the rest of our lives.
Boy, is that true. All right. Let me go ahead and give, you know, viewers as much information as I can. As I say, usually it would take about half an hour to talk about your complete background and bio, because you've done so much and you continue to do so much for other people. But you are considered, I think, a new thought leader. And for over two decades, you've been an expert in emotional healing and personal development. And as an author, you've written three books, and I know you're working on your fourth right now. She's also a television talk show host, motivational speaker, and intuitive spiritual healer, helping thousands of people over the past couple of decades to get their lives together. And Leah helps folks with replacing feelings of anxiety, isolation, defeat, and with, you know, success, overlaying more positive feelings and actions in their lives. So success and love and happiness. And today, like I said, we're talking about her latest book, Overcoming Toxic Emotions. So, wow. I mean, I think that's the biggie. I know that is. And I know for you and your private practice as well, and when you're speaking to huge audiences, there is always that happening and questions coming up from people about that. So can you just sort of share with us a little bit first to get folks an idea about who you are, a little bit about some of the trauma that you had to go through in your life?
Sure. Yeah. And I appreciate the introduction. I come to my work with a passion for healing and spirituality, but I also come to it with a lot of experience, personal experience.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, I'm sure many, many times on your show, you've identified and defined trauma, but I'll just remind listeners this time about the definition that I use is any event or experience that was too overwhelming to process in that moment it has a different effect on our brain. It's a traumatic experience.
Right.
And I think by and large, there's many people who kind of don't even define or relate to the word trauma if they haven't had something massive happen.
Right. Right.
And we need to really look at that differently. I think so. So in my life, I had a typical upbringing from Kentucky and two wonderful parents and a sister and everything that we needed, but there was, dysfunction in the family. And eventually my parents divorced, and that same year my parents divorced, my aunt was murdered.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. I know. It was a really difficult year. And then throughout the time around then, I developed an anxiety issue and an eating disorder. Oh. And later then a drinking issue. And then I went through a sexual assault. I was raped when I was 21 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And so, it's through those circumstances that I was very eager to find relief for myself.
Oh my goodness. I mean, of course. And those are ways of coping. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's how do we cope with such trauma in our lives? And you are young, and you were really young when all this stuff sort of unfolded. So you had to grow up, I guess, and cope really quickly with what you were dealing with and seeing and feeling and probably not understanding a lot of what's going on. And I can't, these feelings are overwhelming and horrible. So, what does toxic emotions mean, to you that you could share with other folks? I mean, what are those toxic emotions that a lot of us have?
Well, I think any emotion on its own, there's no bad emotion. They're all, normal emotions. It's when we don't process the challenging emotions that they become toxic. So anger is a legitimate emotion and one that we all need and have access to. But there's a difference of being angry in the moment if a circumstance has happened to us versus being angry about something that happened 6 months ago or 6 years ago,
Right.
And as we know, anger can turn into other emotions, resentment and so forth. So these toxic emotions are ones that we've been repressing and holding, and they start to undermine our peace and our happiness and our physical health and our mental health and our relationships and everything else. So it's really important that we learn how to process our emotions.
Right, exactly. And do you think most of us turn those negative emotions inside first? I mean, especially as children, right? Young folks, we go, what can I do to, make things better for everyone else? Or do much of the time we do that as littler ones?
Yeah, I think children kind of interpret problems as they're part of it. That's kind of, a first way that we go. But it's interesting. I talk a lot in my book about the core wounds and the imprints that we have from our early developmental years. And under my observation, and again, that's my observation, but there's three major ones that we develop: either a shame wound or a guilt wound or a fear wound. And the fear wound is also I'm not sure I belong here kind of thing, So most people kind of, it filters into one of those directions, it seems.
Sure. And everybody, like you said, handles that trauma differently, whether, whatever it might be. And they, feel guilty, or they want to shut down and not feel at all, or, they just feel like they're victims in their lives, and they're just, their mood swings and, everything else is, or overcompensation by trying to be that happy peppy person that pleases everyone else. And, and all the while. So, how would you also define, so we're talking about some of our toxic emotions and thoughts, and how about toxic people for us? I know you dedicate a lot of that in your book too, to kind of deal with the toxic. What is that about? I mean, that's such a catchphrase now. It's toxic people. I was in a toxic relationship, How do you define some of those characteristics?
I've kind of grown tired, weary of the word toxic, in fact.
I know, but it's real. I mean, it's a deal.
It is, yes. Well, there's certainly toxicity. I, I think in all of us, okay, there's just, we all have a shadow side. We all have parts of us that we don't want to look at. We're not comfortable with the parts of us that we don't want to reveal to everyone. And it takes great vulnerability to reveal it to ourselves and to other people.
Right.
And often we find ourselves in relationships where we're triggering one another constantly, or we're mirroring each other's shadow parts instead of the healthier, higher self parts. Or we're just, unfortunately, maybe in family environments where we're with negative Nelly all the time.
Right. Right.
These are real scenarios, but I think that we focus too much on other people. That's my belief, right?
Yeah. I agree.
Yep. And it's when we
kind of going within, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not about the other person and how they think and what they do and who they are. It's about, how are you responding? Mm-hmm. How are you staying boundaried? How are you taking care of yourself? How are you not being the victim? How are you not blaming?
Right.
So actually, when I wrote the last book, I was a little bit nervous about the topic because I think it's hard for people to actually take ownership for their stuff. You know, we'll go to the bookstore and buy the book about, oh, let me buy the book about the narcissist because my mother, or my boyfriend, or my friend,
right,
I want to learn more about them. But it's harder to go buy a book that's like, okay, I have this, you know,
that's right. It is.
And I need to look at this. Yes.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, books that talk about, you know, attachment issues, you know, and all that, people can relate to, oh, well, I'm fearful because of that. And that's sort of baby stepping into it. But your book, which I really appreciate, Overcoming Toxic Emotions, really goes beyond that. And of course, we can understand why we have avoidant attachment disorder, because we got hurt. We don't want to get hurt again. And we feel that we have to have our walls up. But your book gets into it and really helps people work on their own inner self, which I really appreciate. And I think we'll get into more mindful tools in just a bit. But I really am on the same page with you when you talk about emotional imprints or things that have controlled our lives. And thank you for sharing your emotional imprints and your trauma with us. But can you elaborate a little bit more on what those emotional imprints are?
Sure. So in the first 7-8 years, as you well know, that we're absorbing information from everywhere. And the information that we take in, it can be anything from how broccoli tastes to how someone looks at me, you know, this person looks at me and that means that. Men mean this, fathers mean that, mothers feel like this. Everything we're taking in, we're making discernments of who we are in relation to all these things and whether we like them or not. And also how it feels to us, you know. And so these imprints, whether they are accurate or not, it's not important. Mm-hmm. And that's why, to me, that whole, it's helpful to understand our stories. It's helpful to understand all the characters in our story.
Right.
But understanding them cognitively and feeling and owning and recognizing the feeling state and the energetic state that it has left us in, those are two different things.
Yeah.
What my book is aimed to do is to help a person take full ownership of how they are now based on, yes, their environment, their circumstances, their imprints, but not to use that as the reason why, but just to understand how we've been, I'll just talk about how our frequency has been, right? How our energy has been, how we've been attracting, manifesting, and experiencing our reality for our whole life. So from that state, then we can really do something about it. Because when we see, okay, I had an imprint of loneliness, for example, and it felt a certain way. I could sit here and try to describe to you how it felt, but that doesn't matter. I'm going to give it a number, and that number is going to be 4 on a scale of 0 to 10, right?
Yeah.
And so I have a number of 4, not terribly low, not like I was beaten over the head every day, kind of low, but it was, you know, there's
there.
Feeling, right? Yeah. And so that 4 is the most familiar, comfortable feeling to myself as I'm growing up and as I'm entering into adulthood. I take it with me because it's my reality. It's the imprint that's over me. It's like a shroud that covers the entirety of my being. And now I go out and I function in the world, even if I want great things, even if I want beautiful, healthy, open, loving relationships, even if I don't want to be lonely,
right?
I'm still out there feeling like a 4.
Ah, yes. That makes
and then sense. I manifest fours. I manifest people who are fours or experiences that let me continue to feel like a four.
Right.
And that's what we have to really understand is like, it's not everybody else. It's actually, wow, I have so much control over myself.
Right.
But how do I get from a four to a five?
Right.
You know, and that's the work.
That is the work. And we're going to talk about that as well in just a little bit. But isn't that interesting? You know, we do. That's a subconscious thing that we sort of manifest those people in our lives who will make us feel isolated even more, right? I mean, is that?
Yes. Yeah. We don't. Yes, exactly. We don't consciously go, oh, this person looks unavailable. I'm going to partner with them so that I get to feel that feeling. Ooh. It's like honing devices, you know, energetically, we like honing in on the people in it. And it's not a one for one ratio either. It can be a job scenario that, you know, all of a sudden I'm in the corner position and not many people are social and, you know, I'm not being satisfied. It doesn't have to be the one-to-one ratio. It's just, oh, here it is again. Right. And I know so many people are like, I just keep repeating my life. I keep repeating relationships. I keep having the same feeling over and over and over again. And that's what this book is for.
Oh, it's so true. And a lot of people, you know, do. I mean, there it comes to consciousness. Why me? It's sort of a victimization, and I'm not putting anybody down because if they keep repeating the same habits or attracting the same people or, you know, doing what they do, feeling so bad about, I'm an isolated person, you know, they put labels on themselves and they feel really bad. And then, you know, I really get it. And that's tough, but you help them break out of that and understand their inner self and what they can do, you know, to help themselves better. To your point of, you know, manifesting, and I know you studied quantum healing and the universe of quantum consciousness. So do you suppose that we're putting out those vibes as well? So people are picking up and saying, oh, that person, I'm right there. I can really control this person who feels isolated. Are we putting out that energy to where people are coming to us subconsciously, maybe on their part, and saying, oh, goody, I've got someone here I can manipulate or whatever that might be?
Yeah, I think we're totally emitting that energy. As far as the other person honing in on that, I think it's also very subconscious and not even in one's awareness, but this is how the pattern, the dance, the dynamic gets initiated. You know, it's like we can suss it out. When we do our healing work, whether you're working on spiritual work or emotional healing, trauma healing, intuition, whatever it is, mindfulness, this is one of the greatest reasons that I believe that we should be doing this work is because when we recognize that we do have so much more control over our lives.
Yeah.
And we can't control a lot of things. I mean, we just can't. However, we are part of the one mind. We're part of the oneness, all that, right? Yep. But if I recognize that, what I'm emitting by what I'm thinking about constantly, about how I'm emotionally feeling, about how my energy state is, everyone around me is picking that up. Yes. Now, whether they're sensitive to it or not, who knows?
Right.
But we're going to find each other. Energy attracts energy, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so that gives us great hope, though, too, is that, if I can tweak my energy a bit, if I can work on that victim stuff is really crucial. But if I can work on myself in a way to where, maybe I don't feel like a four, but this month I can get up to maybe a 4.5, you know, even that, it's substantial. Yes. All of a sudden you find new people in your life, new opportunities arise, you know, knocks on the door is like, hi. And the quality of it all is better, right?
Right.
So we see ourselves in our environment all the time. Right. That is what we're seeing. We're seeing ourselves.
You know, it makes so much sense. And maybe now we can just kind of, you could share a little bit about some of the mindful healing tools that you talk about in your book, which is amazing. Overcoming Toxic Emotions. It's everywhere, by the way. Give you her website just a little bit as well. But so what are some of the mindful healing tools that you use? And we'll talk about those other healing tools as well.
Yeah. Well, in the book, I talk about how to set boundaries. We know that's probably one of fundamental ways, right? I also talk about inner child work and the importance of that, which I also think is crucial. Yes. And, you know, really understanding what loving oneself is. But I'm going to go beyond the book, even though I do mention the book. It's about learning how to trust yourself.
Right.
And I have a course on this, Regaining Trust, and it is the most critical piece to change your life. Because if we don't trust ourselves, then we are, one, giving our energy away to people that don't need our energy. Right. We are waiting for a validation and to be okay and our worth and everything to be provided to us by other people in the world. We are disempowered from who we are. So this trust piece is so critical. And everyone's worried about trusting other people. They're worried about getting hurt in relationships. They're worried about somebody stealing from them. I'm like, no. Hold up. Do you trust yourself?
Right. So what are some of the techniques maybe you can share with us in order to go within and soothe, self-soothe, or say that's okay? Or, you made a mistake this time, but let's change it, or...
Yeah. So I call them in my book micro steps, because I don't believe there's any big leaps that we can truly make. Sometimes there's spontaneous healing, you know, there's like big light bulb moments that go off and go, oh my gosh, I just got it.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's micro steps, and those micro steps can be it's the silent, small conversations that we have with ourselves. That's a good place to start.
Yes.
And when we recognize the negative patterns that we're on, if we can just pause, and you don't even have to do anything, let's just start with a pause. We don't need to freak out. We don't need to judge ourselves. We don't need to do anything, but just pause and recognize, wow, there's a part of me that's really been hurting and feels really small. I wonder if that's my inner child. I wonder if that's from this part of my life or this story.
Yes.
How could I be kind to myself in this moment? How could I be kind to myself in this moment? And that simple question, it's a game changer. Okay. You know, you could be having a terrible day and all this pressure on you and all this worry, right? And it's like, what would be kind? Right? You know what? I need a cup of tea. That would be kind to me. Or I'm going to take a 10-minute break right now. That would be kind. Or I'm going to call my best friend and just decompress with them, and you know, whatever it is, it's different for everyone. It's these little micro steps. And when we show up for ourselves in those consistent small ways, it's like we're rewriting our DNA, RNA imprints. You know, it's like we're really kind of recoding who we are.
We are, right.
Right.
So we have to overlay those old neural patterns of being the victim or in isolation or feeling not enough or, you know, whatever that is, we have to overlay that with those micro steps, and that does help.
It does, because what we're doing there is we're becoming conscious where we were otherwise unconscious. We're always acting, not always, we're like 95% of the time acting out of our subconscious mind. We get up in the morning and it's go. And as long as things feel familiar to ourselves, then we believe, okay, here I am. But all that is just a system operating from the past, from our subconscious. Yes.
Right.
We have to come into the conscious and go, my mind, my body is greater than what was before me. And so I have the choice and the power in this moment to do something differently.
Right. And those micro steps, I think, as you are teaching and sharing in your book as well and in your work, I think a lot of people find that a little bit easier, because you can't just flip a switch and say, okay, I'm going to think wonderful thoughts. And, you know, I'm going to immediately eliminate those toxic feelings about myself.
No, honestly, I don't want to poo poo anything, but I am not a huge fan of like daily affirmations.
I agree.
Sweet and they're nice, you know, whatever, but I am a fan of let's reduce the conflict inside, reduce the conflict, because if there's war inside,
then
that's going to occupy all of our energy. So let's reduce that.
So what are some of the other ways that we can reduce that daily conflict within us?
Well, I think one way is to get really honest and authentic with ourselves. All this I'm talking about is with the relationship with self. You know, it's not about we don't want to worry about the outside world right now. This is trying to retune and reframe how we function, you know. So the amount of times that people lie to themselves, they They right. live in this illusion of whatever. They're constantly outside of themselves. If we can stay embodied in this moment and be truthful about who we are, what we need, and what we want right now,
right,
and not draw from who others think we are, what others expect us to be, what we were yesterday, how we felt 2 weeks ago, right. we have a fresh canvas every breath. Every breath. Goodness. And this is why people do meditations and so forth. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons, right?
Sure.
So in that way, it's like, how am I being dishonest to myself or hiding myself? Yeah. And people who are dealing with addictions or what have you, in the same way of let's not look at the people outside, let's not even look at the addiction right now. Can you get into harmony with whatever you are doing?
Right.
And that will eliminate the power of that substance, idea, thought, behavior. It'll cut it in half. Just get in right. harmony with it. You know what? I know this maybe is not great for me, but I'm going to do it because I enjoy it and whatever, and I'm not going to be in conflict with it. Yeah. And I'm consciously going to, you know, do the thing. Okay.
Okay.
Still doing it, but right. are you in a better relationship with it? You know, let's go there first.
Right.
So this honesty and authenticity piece is really critical, I think. And it's hard. It's hard. It's amazing how hard it is, even with ourselves.
Right. Oh, it's so true. I agree, Leah. And do you think that because that's a lot of the shame that we carry within ourselves, of, oh, you know, I shouldn't be doing this, or I should. So to your yeah. point, you know, being okay with keeping it real and saying, yeah, I do this and I'm kind of enjoying it and I've got to figure out how it's not serving me, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I do. I think we're programmed, you know, we all know things that are good, bad for us, what have you physically. But a lot of people have different beliefs, but we're so programmed to, I should look like this. I should be like this. I shouldn't do this. It's just a way of self-punishment. That's what I believe. It's just when we don't have the trigger to help us feel like a four, whatever the lower vibrational state is from our core wounds, until we get conscious about this and really, you know, get the hang of it, we're going to do things that continue to allow us to punish ourselves. So it's just like it's a self-sabotaging, self-punishment mechanism to keep us feeling a certain way.
And you know, that's beautiful in your book, Overcoming Toxic Emotions, about, you know, how we can do those things and also be, like you said, mindful of, oh, we keep going there. And I to your point about affirmations, I you know, I've had people come to me and I've worked with them and they, you know, I'm on podcasts and I'm doing my affirmations every morning and you know, I am wealthy. I am abundant. I am happy. And I say them like 3 times a day and I have like 5 main affirmations, but nothing's happening after 6 months. And, and I say, well, do you believe those things?
Right.
You know, there's not a magical, you know, Tinkerbell that's going to come down with a wand and say, you are happy. You know, you have to really go within, like you said, and embrace that, how am I happy?
Right.
You know, like you said, you know, there's a scale. Mm-hmm. And, or why am I really abundant? How can I be okay with it? And then work through creating that abundance. So it's taking those actions to do whatever you need to do. It's,
yeah.
Right? It's just, I'm with you on that. It's just not repeating and, you know, about the Institute of Heart Math and how we have to combine the heart and the feeling and embrace our own sense of well-being. Mm-hmm. How can we set better boundaries with people? I know this is an issue that I have with a lot of folks who come to talk to me.
Yeah.
I know.
I think that a way to work on this is to remember that we're setting boundaries for ourselves. We're not setting boundaries for other people. We're not building walls. We're not keeping them out. We're not proving a point. We're not showing them who we are. It has nothing to do with anything except for, this is what I need to operate safely, healthily, consistently in my life.
Right.
And I'm going to do this for me. And I'm going to share that with you so that we can actually be closer and more intimate and know each other better. And I'd love to know your boundaries. And it becomes so clear once we do that, you know, but it's hard to sustain boundaries for ourselves if we have these core wounds, these guilt imprints or shame imprints.
Right.
But if I'm doing this for me, then where's the guilt? There should be no guilt when we're taking excellent care of ourselves. You know, if I need to go to bed at 9 o'clock and you need to go to bed at 11 o'clock, do you, but don't wake me up. You know, right. Yeah, it's not going to work if you're going to interfere with this. Right?
Right.
So I think that's a big perspective shift for a lot of people. Is it's not about how to keep people, you know, controlled or behaving correctly for us. It's about, no, this is actually how I'm going to go in my life. And I welcome you in all the places that there's entry points.
Right. Exactly. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Beautiful, you said. What are some of the best ways that, and I know that you deal with a lot of folks who deal with this, that we can relieve our super generalized anxiety issues or the constant, you know, high beta thoughts that are blah, 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 scanning the environment or always looking for the what ifs. And, you know, people that just have we all have anxiety to a certain extent in this world. But how can we overcome many of those that cripple us?
Yeah, it's a great question because it does affect so many of us. First of all, I think it's important to understand that anxiety is usually a symptom of other emotions that are trying to process.
Ah, okay.
So when there's anxiety, if we can, I know it's uncomfortable, but if we can, even if you have to lay down for a minute and take some breaths and let your body inform you of what other emotion is really in there. There may be sadness. There may be 10-year-old grief that's trying to come up. Whoa. There may be, you know, some kind of worry or anticipation or anger. We don't know. We need to be with ourselves with that, you know? So I would say that's a good thing to do. And also, I mean, just more and more for myself, I have to really work on staying grounded, like literally, you know, feet in the ground kind of thing, earthing, all that.
Sure.
And that helps tremendously. And it sounds so woo-woo for people, but especially those of us who live in city environments and there's so much noise and just pollution everywhere of all kinds.
Sure.
Nature is our greatest balancer. You know, we are nature, so we can't be away from it because we need it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that would be the second thing I would recommend. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think those are lovely healing tools, getting out in nature and, you know, there's that great documentary and grounding, you know, and it does, it has the science behind, you know, how we need to get out in nature, and we're all vibrating, excuse me, to that Schumann frequency, I guess, because we're all part of the earth. We're all electromagnetically grounded together here. So yeah. I mean, you're right. Getting out in nature, barefoot in the earth somehow. And that is so important.
We are so backwards in the way that we live our lives now. You know, we're not meant to be indoors under all this lighting in front of all these screens. That's not our nature.
Yes.
And so anyway, that's definitely helpful. But as far as the emotional aspect of it, I think the anxiety is just asking us for its attention. You know, it's like we have something to look at here. So
right, exactly. Mm-hmm. I used to have someone I worked with who had constant intrusive, worried thoughts that weren't even realistic. I mean, what if my partner goes and drives to the market and gets hit broadside because they ran a red light? I mean, created all these things, you know. It was like, and then he would say and yell at himself and say, "Leave me alone," to his brain. And I'm not laughing at him. I think that's really effective, that because that's mindfulness, right? Being aware and saying, "Stop it. Stop it."
Right.
You have a three-step method of quieting the mind and stopping the bad behaviors, right?
So. Yes. It's a very simple method, but it's hard to grasp because we think we know more than we do. But it's just basically acknowledging the actual feeling in the moment. And again, that takes awareness and being present, that we're not pulling up feelings from the past or stories from the past or how we think we should be feeling, but really acknowledging what is going on right now, and then coming into agreement with it through acceptance, And that's the hard one, is to really accept, even if I don't like it, even if, you know, there could be something else possible right now or what have you, I accept this, and then taking action. And, you know, we think of the word action as these big actions, but it could be a breath. It could be journaling. Yeah. It could be pausing. It could be whatever, or it could be an actual action.
Yes.
And taking care of ourselves from that conscious place, from the conscious awareness, the mindfulness of, I have a choice here. You know, I always have a choice.
Right. We always have a choice. And we don't have to be in, like you said, hypnosis.
Right. Yeah.
Automatic neural patterns that feel safe and they go back to the icky ones. Like, oh, let's start worrying. And do you think that is a way that we defocus on our own inner stuff, is let's just put it out. Let's worry about everything else and every, you know.
Yes, total distraction.
Yeah.
We just distract ourselves. Yes.
Yeah. So we don't have to really deal with it. And of course, being in hypnosis, and you know, we all kind of feel like that. And we're robots. I have my, you know, like getting up, getting my coffee, going to this room, getting my, you know, it's like robotic. And you got to mix it up a little bit, think different thoughts, think out of the box. And
start
also getting out of our negative or toxic emotion comfort zone. And your book, I love the title, Overcoming Toxic Emotions, Understand Emotional Imprints to Create Happy, Healthy Relationships with Yourself. And that's the key, and others. So that's kind of healing your trauma as well. In a lot of ways, you also are an intuitive spiritual healer, and I just love that work.
Mm.
Have you always been this way, intuitive with other people? And can you just share a little bit about that with us?
Yeah, I feel like I have. You know, I think a lot of young people have incidents of seeing and hearing and knowing and. And then we kind of get away from that for a while. And I believe we're all intuitive, but yes, I've been connected to it most all of my life. Of course, there were years where I was derailed and not paying attention and what have you. But for me, it is, I love that work, and it's the most peaceful, joyous, blissful, beautiful work that there is. Mm. So, yeah.
Well, so you've always been, you really pick up on people's energies and sort of feel who they are. And you always have since you were really young. So when you're talking about energy medicine, how do you define that?
Well, I studied energy healing when I was, it was probably almost 30 years ago. And it wasn't Reiki or any of those kinds of things, but it was, I mean, it was similar in the sense of energy. I see everything as energy, everything that we do, everything we feel and who we are as energy. So when I do hands-on work, which is less now, but when I do hands-on work with people, it's helping balance, clear and connect energy lines and meridians and so forth. It's helping a person understand where their energetic and emotional blocks are or where they're holding patterns. The intuitive work, I do everything from mediumship to, you know, helping a person find their new car or home or relationship or what have you. So, yeah. But mostly it's under the guise of, you know, really trying to help a person, do all the things we've talked about already today, you know, to trust themselves, to trust spirit, to be fully embodied, to have a whole happy, peaceful life, to work through their past, to understand who they are in a bigger way. And so with that, I do soul retrieval work as well, entering people's timelines and working on the traumas and the events that were too big for them to process in the motion, you know, in the moment. So all of it's all one, but it's not a standard protocol that I use with every client. It just depends on what's going on.
Right. What does the work involve as a medium?
Just checking, I connect with people on the other side that want to communicate in any way. Actually, another medium and myself, we just did a YouTube video where we had people write in on Instagram asking questions. And so that was different because usually I'm, you know, one-on-one with a person, very easy to connect. This way, we didn't know the people. There was no face, there was no name, no nothing. And so it was interesting, but we still were successful.
Sure.
Time and again. So, And again, to help people to heal, to, you know, put away any issues of pain or responsibility, to have deeper faith in what's going on here. You know, a lot of people feel comforted and protected and guided once they feel more confirmed that there's people on the other side.
There really, you know, there's a lot of evidence, of course, with everybody. And I've been lucky enough to interview some very high, you know, highly respected doctors, physicians, surgeons who have had serious NDEs or OBEs. And they say, well, I don't fear death anymore.
Right.
Because there really is, you know, we're all spirit, we're all energy. And it is now being proven with many folks who are like Nassim Haramein, you know, the physicists that have worked out, you know, the different dynamics of quantum physics and saying, oh, of course, energy is never gone, but it does take place in another, you know, it always shows up. Energy is never killed or died.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not just that it's hanging out. It's actually, you know, there is retaining a personality. There is a retention of our soul and who, what we need to do and where we need to go, I guess. But there are those people who you can tune into who, you know, have transitioned and who are okay.
Yeah.
They're
doing amazingly, usually, you know, it's wonderful. I'm actually teaching a workshop on the near-death experience organization in December. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's really, there are so many people who are afraid, I think, to come out and talk about it because they don't want to be taken as woo-woo crazy people or, oh, you were, you know, you were just having a hallucination because the blood was being cut off from the brain when you were unconscious. And yeah, but I flatlined.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Evan Alexander, I was flatlined.
Right.
You know, so, or Nina Marjani, I was almost toe tagged. Mm-hmm. Right. It's like, you know, but it's, how do you explain that? And how do you explain blind people who are all of a sudden coming back into consciousness and describing an environment that they were visiting? Because they could see when they had their NDE or whatever that was. So, yeah. I mean, there's so many, and it's science. It's not just woo-woo bit stuff. So, so good for you for, you know, doing workshops on that and helping people really, you know, define what that energy is and knowing that it's really okay. And, you know, I think, and I don't want to get into it necessarily, but I think a lot of religious dogma, you know, about going to hell or you're a sinner and all that. And, you know, there is a control of a lot of folks and kind of helps us be mindful of being nicer in our lives to other people. But
right.
I don't know if there's, you're going to burn in eternal hell. I don't, from everyone I've interviewed, I don't know of anybody who's done that yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a reading. I don't know. Maybe that's hidden from us, but I agree. It's,
really neat. Something else you cover, which I really love, is how we self-sabotage ourselves in relationships or in getting ahead in life or jobs that we'd like or whatever that might be. Why do you believe that we continue to self-sabotage ourselves?
Well, I think, like I said, that subconscious kind of need to punish ourselves to keep us at that familiar place of not feeling good. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're used to having someone else or something else kind of represent that for us, and then that goes away, well, we have to keep proving to ourselves, oh, I'm not worthy. I should feel guilty. I should feel bad. I should feel small, all this kind of stuff. And again, the cognitive mind may go, oh, no, you shouldn't. But this is why it's important to understand our energy patterns and what goes on in our subconscious mind and so forth. Right.
Right.
Because we do it. We do it. And, you know, we say all these things and yes, they're 100% true. And we are humans here in this limited dimension. You know, there's no perfection. And I think that's what, you know, I see like three different types of people, the people that think that people can't change or heal. No. The people that only want to change or heal if it's going to happen right now. And then those people who realize, oh, this is all a process and we're not looking for any end result.
Right.
Because we're always on the spectrum. We're always on this polarity. We will never get off of it as long as we are alive, you know?
Right, exactly.
So we're going to struggle with ourselves. We're going to struggle with the world. We're going to struggle with different things and relationships and people and food and everything because we're in an energy dynamic of struggle, you know, not fully, but partially. Right. We're in that polarity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. No, so we are in the inner struggle. And of course, as you point out in your wonderful book, you know, it's all lessons. That's why it's so cool to be here in this three-dimensional, you know, bodies. It's all about lessons and interacting. And then we have, you know, the hippocampus and the amygdala, which retains the memories of those things and traumas. And it's all about lessons. And we have to take our time and be patient with ourselves to learn these things. And, oh, I did it again, you know. Oops, yeah. I did it again. I found that person that was toxic to me, or, you know, or I'm carrying around these toxic, angry feelings. And it's like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. We needed to experience this again, I guess.
Yeah.
Until you decide no more, or let me just take a look at how I could make my life better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it is hard. It's a hard pill to swallow. But as I always say, we get the medicine until we don't need the medicine any longer, you know, and then we can put it down. But sometimes we need that medicine for the majority of our lives. And then all of a sudden we come to peace with it. We understand it. We don't need that anymore. Boy, and until we do, we just go through it. I know I'm going through stuff that I, you know, I'd rather just not.
Right, exactly.
not.
Right. And I mean, we all do continuously. Everybody kind of looks up like, oh, you're a psychologist or you're a therapist, or you're an expert. It's like, you know, everything. And you, it's like, no, I'm still walking the walk. I'm still taking that road of the journey and I'm learning new things. So,
yes,
you know, it's really wonderful. And we can also open our hearts to learn a lot about other people and to be patient with other people and their struggles as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, have I missed, is there something else that you would like to really bring out or share that we didn't discuss?
I don't think so. I think we did a pretty good job.
Well, you did a really great job of writing your book, Overcoming Toxic Emotions, Understand Emotional Imprints to Create Happy, Healthy Relationships with Yourself and Others. And Leah Guy, you are an inspiration, and I love your work. And I really encourage everybody to go onto your website, which is?
LeahGuy.com. That's LEAHGUY.
All right. And find out about where she's going to be speaking and her workshops. And of course, her books are amazing. They're everywhere. They're on Amazon and her website and every other place, and in brick and mortar stores as well. So Overcoming Toxic Emotions. I think we're all focused on how to do that and make our lives better. And you really nailed it in your book, and I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, Leah. Thanks, and have a beautiful rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining me here on the couch. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. I know it's long, but it's getting the point across that all you have to do is reach out, let me know what you're thinking. And if you have any questions about, you know, overcoming toxic relationships and emotions, just check out Leah Guy's book because it's really helpful. All right. Do think and take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for other people in the world, and that's the way it works. I appreciate you listening today, and next week on the couch, another wonderful guest. We're going to be talking about healing yourself within and really understanding why you had such poor relationships with others and your own suffering. Thanks for listening. Bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. right here on LA Talk Radio.